Chapter 11. Second Death. Thustus watched the sorcerer descend from his tower and work his spell.
"Beware!"
he shouted.
"Beware!"
All along the line, Lord Relictors chanted out their own incantations. Glittering waves of magic pulsed over the celestial vindicators, healing and empowering them. The walls of the castle twitched. Patches of decoration whirled in on themselves to be replaced by blank, featureless silver, and from this, shining blades leapt. Trailing pink fire, they shot towards the shield wall. The liberators raised their shields in response, but the blades did not impact and came to an abrupt stop before them. In perfect step with one another, as if they were wielded by a line of warriors, the swords hacked at the shields. Blades sliced down with supernatural might, rending Sigmarite in two, forcing the warriors to discard their protection, which drew additional weapons to them from the magically charged air. The line of liberators disrupted, the swords broke formation, picked out a target each, and dueled with them. Sigmarite blade rang on magical weapons, the blades, which came in greater numbers. Along the front, liberators began to fall, their ascension marked by skyward-leaping energies. But they did not return to Azir. Shouts of horror went up along the line as the Stormcast saw their comrades' essence drawn off course and sucked into the copper skulls of the fort. A terrible howling came from the city then. Thustos saw silver-skinned hounds pounding down narrow alleyways, eyes afire with forge flame. Molten metal streamed from their jaws like drool. They galloped across the metal plaza, claws skidding on the smooth surfaces. They plunged into the lines of judicators, their dagger teeth closing around helmets. Men wrestled with the beasts, their bodies vanishing in flashes, only to be taken into the skulls of the castle. In the wake of the hounds staggered ancient suits of armor, woken by magic, their dull blades clutched in empty gauntlets. Cries of mirth and exultation came from the top of the walls, as the sorcerous things attacked. But once their element of surprise was exhausted, they died quickly. Judicators shot the blades down with unerring skill, and the shield wall reformed. Reserves of liberators turned about and met the hounds. Hammers and blades fell on them, cutting through gleaming hides to bring forth floods of silver viscera. Thustos fell to himself, smashing the head cleanly from one with a hammer strike. Bright metallic blood spattered over his body, and he screamed his anger, the same words over and over again. "Vengeance! Vengeance! Vengeance!" He broke the hip of the last hound, and it yelped as pitifully as any mortal cur. A reverse thrust stopped the noise. Then Thustos was into the creaking army of animate armor. Empty suits exploded under his hammer, the bones of their long-dead occupants shattering into dust. He chanted the names of his mother, father, and sisters, words from another life and time. His blood surged as he said each. He and his men destroyed the last of the armor, and the castle shuddered under the bombardment. For every skull that glowed with stolen power, another melted or fell free.
"Is that the best you can do?"
Thustos shouted, and raised his weapons again.
"Sigma! Vengeance! Sigma!"
His men followed his example.
"Sigma! Vengeance! Sigma!"
And then the gates creaked open, slamming hard against the wall, and the forces of hell-twisted Anvrok poured out to face the army of Sigmar in open battle. Heavily armored warriors screamed the names of Tzeentch as they crashed into the battle line. The celestial vindicators shouted back,
"Sigmar! Vengeance! Sigmar!"
Thustos ran back to the line of battle, silver blood and rain streaming from his armor. The lead warriors of Chaos used long, hooked halberds to yank away the shields of the celestial vindicators. The shield wall wavered, then broke apart, the warriors in it overcome by the furious need for revenge. The battle line became a series of individual combats, and everywhere the slaves of Chaos were being bested. Fearless men all, heartless tyrants, were shocked by the fury of their foe. None such as the Stormcasts had ever been seen in Shamon. A dark shadow swept over the fight. A manticore flew overhead, its body that of a lion, tawny and powerful, a snarling face set with dimly intelligent eyes craned and snapped from a huge scarlet mane. Thostus watched it, momentarily transfixed. Not since his days in Amkarsh had he seen such a creature, when chaos magic had changed the beasts of the land and made them savage, and its ilk had become common. The champion riding the manticore came shrieking through the air on his mount, swooping upon prosecutors like a hawk and dashing their broken bodies upon the ground. His beast reared, all four claws out to slash and rend, and others fell.
"Form up!"
he was screaming.
"Make line! Make line!"
The wind from the manticore's flight buffeted Thostos as it swooped low. The heavy paws of the monster struck a furrow through the celestial vindicators, killing some and scattering many more. Stormbolts chased the flying creature of chaos. One struck home, causing the beast to howl in rage. But the Lord was a skillful rider, and he swept his beast from side to side, dodging all the fire but that single bolt. Thostos barged his way to the front. As commanded, the Chaos Warriors were reforming their own lines, and now the Celestial Vindicators found themselves in isolated groups against a well-organized foe.
"Match them! Match them! Shield wall to shield wall!"
Thostos cried.
"Shield wall! Then for the gate!"
The Celestial Vindicators locked shields for the third time with supreme discipline, and marched in unison. But a wall of fire sprang up in front of the Chaos Warriors, and the Tzinchian soldiery attacked without fear of reprisal. The flickering pink and golden flames turned hammer and sword, but their own blades stabbed out without hindrance. The manticore swooped overhead again, the sword of its rider taking heads to the left and right. He laughed as he slew. The energies of slain stormcasts shot upwards, only to be sucked into the castle. Stormbolts burst apart on the firewall, and the Chaos Warriors killed and killed.
"Back! Back! Retreat 20 paces! Move!"
called Thostos. Flawlessly, the Stormcast Eternals went backwards, shields still to their fore, opening a space between themselves and the Chaos Warriors. The Tzinchian host paused for a moment. It was enough.
"Judicators! Aim for the ground!"
shouted Thostos. As soon as he had spoken, a rain of hissing bolts rose up and fell down. Half fizzed out or exploded upon the magical shield protecting the warriors, while the rest slammed into the metal ground before them. A crackling storm of energy arced across the front of the Chaos Warriors' company, creeping under the fire shield and coursing through the metal-clad warriors behind. They jerked and danced, before collapsing dead and smoking. The fires guttered out. The laughter of the manticore's rider turned to screams of anger, and the Stormcast Eternals charged back into their enemy, striking down the few who had survived. The gates swung shut, but Thostos saw his opening. The walls, for 100 yards either side of the gate, had been cleared of warriors. Thostos grinned. The problem with studding a castle wall with skulls, he thought, is that it makes it very easy to climb.
"To the walls!"
he cried.
"To the walls!"
Thostos and his followers made a quick ascent, fingers digging into the soft copper of the skulls adorning the walls. Below, more Stormcast Eternals hacked at the walls directly, caving in the skulls that had consumed their comrades, burying their swords into them or ripping them from the walls. Each one destroyed, burst with a flash of released magic. All along the defences, the same thing was happening. Thunderbolt crossbows burned whole stretches of the wall bare. Judicators and prosecutors covered their comrades as they hacked at the fabric of the fortress. Where a skull was ruptured that imprisoned the essence of a Stormcast Eternal, the energy roared upwards, booming with the joy of release. Thostos hauled himself up the last few feet of the wall, the power invested in his limbs by Sigmar allowing him to climb quickly, even in his heavy armor. He vaulted over the crenellations, drawing his weapons again as he landed. Chaos Warriors were running along the wall walk, but too late to stop him. His men were already over, and the clamor of battle erupted along a section of the wall.
"Force them back!"
he roared.
"Make room for our brothers!"
Phostos growled with the fierce joy of vengeance. He broke a savage's jaw with the hilt of his sword and kicked another over the battlements. Shouts, grunts, and the clang of metal. He reveled in it, in the blood, in the struggle and the burn in his muscles. A flash transmuted a stormcast next to him to a guttering puddle of thick liquid. Two more stopped dead, frozen in place, then melted like hot wax. Another turned into a crystal statue in a puff of purple smoke. Transformed mid-run, he toppled from the battlement and shattered on the flagstones of the bailey. Flashes of departing magic struggled for the sky, but the fortress was still consuming the essence of the blade storms. Phostos smashed down another warrior and searched for his quarry. The sorcerer floated 10 yards out from the wall on his golden disc, a tall, gaunt man with long horns. He was much altered from a man's usual form, a long-serving servant of chaos. He was chanting wildly, hurling magic that killed Thostos's warriors.
"Bring him down!" he shouted. "Kill the sorcerer!"
A group of prosecutors heard his order and swooped upward over the wall. They circled past the sorcerer, pelting him with their celestial hammers. The sorcerer knocked half of the hammers from the sky with a sweep of his staff, but the prosecutor's aim was good, and their own magic powerful. 3 bolts of energy hammered into his golden disc, causing it to slew around and slam into the wall walk. The disc sparked and died, and the sorcerer was sent sprawling. Dozens of liberators and judicators were now on the wall.
"Kill him! Kill the sorcerer and we win the battle!" Phostos bellowed.
A trio of judicators raised their bows, but the sorcerer knocked their missiles aside with blurred swipes of his staff. The men jerkily rose into the air, raking at their throats. The sorcerer closed his fist and they went limp, and he threw them down.
"I will finish this myself," growled Phostos.
"With me!"
The sorcerer was only yards away. Phostos howled with righteous fury as he closed on him. A look of dismay crossed the twisted demon worshipper's face, one that turned swiftly to hatred. He made a series of complicated passes in the air very quickly. A bang sounded from the courtyard, a rush of displaced air. An unearthly roar wounded Thostos's ears, a hideous, mewling howl that should never be heard in the mortal world. His men cried out and stumbled, but he went on, hammer ready to deliver the final blow. The battlement transformed into a flood of boiling gold beneath his feet, and he fell, half a dozen of his men plummeting into the courtyard with him. He struggled up, ignoring the burn of the molten metal as it seeped through the gaps in his armor. All around his feet were flapping, cog-scaled fish, gasping for gold and dying as their clockwork ran out. A rich perfume hung on the air, and a troubling shimmer distorted all sight. From the heart of this haze reared a creature whose very appearance was anathema to sanity. It shifted and changed constantly, seeming not to be wholly of one world or realm. The impression Phostos had was of a house-sized creature steeped in madness and pain. From its back erupted an array of crystalline bones in the shape of the blasphemous wheel of chaos. At the center turned a weeping hole in space, a gateway to the realm of the four powers. One of his men looked into it and screamed. Blue flames jetted from the joints in his armor, and he imploded with a bang.
"Avert your eyes!"
Phostos shouted. But it was no use. Writhing bolts of plasma erupted from the portal, screaming around the beast like the shades of the tormented dead. They shrieked through the air, plunging into the stormcasts. All around Phostos, his warriors were transformed by wild magic. One split down the middle into 2 identical half-sized replicas of himself, one black, one white, who immediately started fighting each other. Another turned into a cloud of moths that burst apart and scattered to the 4 winds. A third became a porcelain vase that fell to the ground with a dull clunk. Phostos could barely contain the horror the thing evoked in him. The magic in his body could feel the tug of the vortex of wild energy that roared around it, as if it would tear out his soul.
"Lord Sigmar, hear my prayer," he thought.
"You answered me once before. I ask you again. Lend me strength." He raised his sword and hammer for what was sure to be the final time.
Vengeance! He hissed.
He charged. A spasming tendril of energy caressed his helm as he closed upon the creature. A spike of pain ripped through him, down every nerve ending. He dropped his weapons and staggered back in horror. Something was happening to him. Some fundamental and terrifying change. He howled in pain and went down onto one knee. He closed his eyes and awaited his death. He had failed. The pain stopped. He still lived, but he was not the same. His body, his flesh, it felt different, heavier, harder. His gauntlet dropped from his arm. He raised his hand before his face. Metal gleamed in place of skin. Flesh and blood had been transformed into living Sigmarite. Another bolt of change slammed into him and did not perturb him. He laughed, a triumphant, disbelieving bark of mirth. He stood, stepped forward calmly, and plucked up his weapons from the ground. The beast waffled and whooped, multiple discordant animal noises blending into a hellish gurgle of frustration. Magic rained down upon Thostos as he strode confidently at the monster, all of its sorceries running without harm from his transformed body. The creature reared up, tentacles spearing forth from its mouth. Thostos slashed them with his sword, severing them and stepping through as they turned to shreds of multicolored magic. He leapt up, swinging his hammer over his head and down, burying it in the small head hidden behind the nest of tentacles. The creature's skull gave in with an audible crack, and with a sigh that seemed to be of relief to the Lord Celestant, the beast collapsed to the floor. The gateway upon the beast's back blinked and winked out. The creature heaved one last breath and died, its flesh shriveling in on itself, becoming black ash. Thostos turned back to where the sorcerer stood and raised his hammer in a gleaming metal hand. Efrix ran back and forth on the wall. His perfect kingdom, labored over so long and so lovingly, was being smashed to pieces around him. Blazing jags of lightning burned down from the sky, slamming into the walls. He flung up his arms as celestial energy played about the northeast tower, exploding in an outwards fountain of molten copper. The warriors of the God King hacked and smashed at his magical receptacles, spilling his carefully husbanded power back into the ether. Shooting bolts raced upwards as the essences of stormcasts were set free to ride the storm.
No! No!
Screamed Efrix in anguish. The warriors on the walls had been overwhelmed, and the lackeys of Sigmar were coming through the part of the wall transformed by the mutilith. They were pouring into the courtyard, destroying his life's work without a thought for his efforts. A billow of rain-filled air battered him in the face as Lord Myrak alighted on the parapet.
See, sorcerer? This is true chaos, not your pedantic constructions. The fortress is lost. Your own pet has let them in.
Myrak was laughing, a hard mix of despair, anger, and glee.
Coward!
Screamed Efrix.
I will not abandon my work!
He turned upon the men on the walls and the metal plaza outside, sending gales of billowing fire into the ranks of his foes, transmuting stormcast eternals into all manner of hideous forms. A volley of bolts arced towards him. He waved a hand and they fizzed into nothingness, even as his other throttled the judicators that had fired them.
It is lost, repeated Myrak. Flee!
A terrible howl drew Efrix's attention to the courtyard. The mutilith slumped to the floor. Its vanquisher turned and raised his hammer at the mage in defiant challenge. Efrix fixed Myrak with a doleful stare.
What are you doing? Demanded Myrak. No, Efrix, he said warningly. Do not call upon such powers.
The sorcerer raised his hands, all the while glaring at the lord defiantly. Cursing, Myrak urged his mount into the storm-wracked sky. Efrix chanted an arcane phrase three times. Attackers were approaching from the other side of the breached wall. A jagged bolt of lightning slammed into the fort's central tower. The artifact within heard and responded, a secret signal only Efrix could detect. The calling of the hammer to its master set his teeth hurting, but he would not stop and chanted the phrase over and over again. Reality screamed. Efrix channeled as much power as he dared, his soul chilling as he handled the dark energy. The last syllables left his lips, and he nearly choked upon them. Angrily, he drew upon the reservoirs of energy trapped in his fortress, enraged that they must be expended. A circle of blackness expanded from the sorcerer, slaying everything that it touched. Chaos Warrior and Stormcast Eternal collapsed as the fortress discharged curling arcs of night-purple doom. The skulls clawed at the lives of the Stormcasts killed, but there were so many slain that the castle could not consume them all, and their essences raced home. The earth rebelled at this black work, shuddering in pain. His tower swayed, its walls cracking and revealing the golden light of the artifact within. But it was not enough to hold back the darkness Efrix had unleashed. For a split second, the sorcerer stared into the realms of death. Something ancient and dark gazed back at him with contempt. The light returned. Efrix sank to his knees, dizzy. All around him were the dead. The Stormcast Eternals had disappeared, carried off by their lord. The ground was carpeted by the bodies of his men and Myrak's followers. A dry chuckle sounded behind him. Wearily, Efrix raised his head.
"Master," he said.
"Clever gambit, mortal," said Kairos.
"It was idiotic," said the second head, arching close to the sorcerer.
It tilted to one side, its eye filling Efrix's vision.
"A good play,"
disagreed the other.
"Why would I want a dull follower?" "Perhaps I would,"
argued the second head. The heads spoke together, the menace in Kairos' words unmistakable.
"Now you have had your turn. Let us bring this to a close together."
"Yes, together,"
said one head.
"That is what we always intended. No?"
asked the other.
Yes, said Efrix. "Oh, of course, my lord. Why, I only intended to... There was no time. I had to act quickly.
Kairos leaned heavily on his staff.
"Tut, tut, tut,"
said the first head.
"Do shut up, Efrix,"
said the second.